Friends, before we start, let me introduce myself. My name is Abhasaheb Chavan. I am a professional banker. More than 45 years, I have been with banking and dealing with various subjects of the banking. There are various subjects. And during the course of 45 years of plus tenure with the banking industries, like public sector bank also I have worked, and a couple of private sector banks also I have worked. So, gaining that experience, institution has, Wellington Institute of Management Institute has assigned me a work of development of book, academic book on trade finance. Because they were aware that I have more than 25 to 30 years working experience on trade finance. 25 years approximately. And keeping always updates and also guiding to the people, corporates, bankers, and all these things. In view of this, I have accepted their request and developed the book, on academic book on the trade finance for you people. The book is developed in such a manner that right from the zero, from the trade finance perspective, right from the zero till 2025, whatever developments have happened in the trade finance, particularly in India as well as globally, that has been incorporated and made this book a very, very up-to-date. I hope you will enjoy to listen my lectures on trade finance, and also you will enjoy the trade finance academic book also, which is a more descriptive for your examination purpose. So with this, we will start our business of discussion on this trade finance. There are around 18 chapters, 16 to 18 chapters I have incorporated in this book. Each chapter has got a specific meaning, and we focus to gather the information which is most relevant in today's environment. So, likewise, we will complete our discussion chapter by chapter and go up to chapter number, last chapter. So first, before we start about the subject, let me introduce about the trade finance, which is a chapter one. This chapter one's objective is to take an overview of the trade finance mechanism, to understand and that the, what the trade finance means, and finally to understand how trade finance is working. So this complete overview, 360-degree overview, we will be taking in this chapter. Now, this with this objective, for your better understanding, I have devised this chapter into small paras or small headings, and created the structure for you for the better understanding of the trade finance. First, we start the structure incorporate first with importance of trade finance, which will be followed by stakeholders in the trade finance, the difference between the trade finance and our traditional finance, then evolution of the trade finance, scope of the trade finance, then type of transactions which are covered under the trade finance, the ecosystem which 100% impact on the trade finance operations in India, and by after all, in short, the benefits of the trade finance for the business, While doing so, there may be, the people may come across with the challenges, and these challenges in trade finance are also covered. And finally, what is the vision? What is the future outlook? That also we will, at the end of the chapter, we'll do it. So, friends, what is trade finance? First question comes, what is trade finance? The trade finance refers to the financial mechanism or financial instrument and the product that facilitates international and domestic trade is a trade finance. In short, the product, instruments, all these things are okay. But behind the global commerce, world commerce, trade finance is an engine which ensures the buyers of the goods, sellers of the goods across the borders of the country can transact in confidence, even though there is a time lag, even though they are far away from each other, even though there are several regulatory constraints. Apart from that, under trade finance bridges, joins all these gaps. So, the engine behind the global commerce, ensuring that the buyers and sellers across the borders can transact in confidence, despite the time lag, distance, regulatory hurdles, and trust deficit. In simple terms, trade finance bridges the gap between the suppliers and the buyers, because both are not known to each other, because they are living up far away from each other. And then they ensure that the exporter receives the payment, that means the supplier of the goods receives the payment timely manner, and the importer receives the goods under secure and timely condition. Timely. Goods should be reached timely to the importer or buyer. That is why trade finance is very, very important, and how it functions are very meticulously required to be understood. Various economic, operational, and the financial perspective need to understand to better understanding the trade finance and its importance. So, importance of the trade finance, first one is to facilitate the international trade. Because trade finance removes or reduces the payment risk between exporter and importers by involving the banks and financial institution as its intermediaries. Second importance is trade finance bridges the working capital gap. It fills the gap in working capital. How? Because trade finance provides short-term funding solution, such as pre-shipment finance, post-shipment finance, allowing the business to manage the cash flow and meet the production and the delivery timelines without waiting for the payment for the buyers. So much before shipment of the goods or much before receipt of the funds, finance is made available under the trade finance to the supplier as well as to the buyer of the goods. Third one is to reduce the risk for all the parties. Trade finance reduces risk for all the parties. There are instruments like letter of credit, bank guarantee, and the trade credit insurance. Trade finance ensures that the sellers are paid on time and the buyers received the good on time as per the agreed term. This reduces the credit and performance risk of both the exporters and importers. Next one is, trade finance promotes the business growth. How? Because trade finance is enabling easier access to the credit and improving the liquidity, trade finance empowers the business, especially MSME, micro, small and medium entrepreneurs, to take on the large orders, enter into new market and the scale operations without financial strain. So it facilitates the promotion of the business. Next one, it enhances the supply chain efficiency. Supply chain efficiency means it helps the buyer to manage the supplier payment efficiently while ensuring that seller have the funds to continue the production or sourcing. So there is a chain. There is a chain of making available the raw material for the manufacturing purpose, export it, and this will be continuous process. And by the way, importer receive the goods on time to continue his working cycle. So the supply chain is efficiently managed by the trade finance. Now, next one is a support the economic development. You are aware that the trade expands through the financing. The country's experience increased the industrial production, employment generation. There are several problems and higher GDP growth. So trade finance thus plays a direct role in strengthening the national and global economies. Next one is, trade finance encourages the trust and transparency, because in trade finance, there is a dealing between the parties who are far away from each other, across the border they are functioning. So the trade finance brings an institutional oversight and the compliance check, making the transactions more transparent and reliable. This fosters the long-term relationship between the trading partners, that is, buyer and seller. Now, tailored financial solution. This trade finance provides the tailored financial solution. The trade finance instrument like factoring, forfeiting, and the supply chain finance, of course, whatever names I'm taking or referring, we will have in separate chapters in detail discussion on the factoring, forfeiting, supply chain finance, etc. So, for the time being, you just keep it understand that the trade finance is a tailored financial solution. Like, and it has several products like factoring, forfeiting, supply chain finance, and it allows the business to select the solution that best suit to their specific risk profile, industry requirement, as well as the trade cycle. Having understood the whole gamut of the trade finance, we are going a little bit deep into that to understand who are the stakeholders in the trade finance. Trade finance, the term which you are using, has a various parties involved into it. So, multiple parties, when it involves, each plays a very critical role in the facilitating as well as securing and execution of the trade finance. The collaboration among these ensures that there is a smooth movement of the goods and funds across the border. Friends, you may be aware that when the goods are exported out of the country, so exporter is in one country, and when it is exported from that country, it goes to the another country, then buyer in another country is an importer, and the goods imported are import for that country. So buyer will make the payment to the seller. That means import payment is received by the exporting party, that is exporter. Okay, these are some of the basic thought process of the trade finance, right? As far as the goods are concerned. So, in subsequent slides, each party's role we are going to discuss, its importance and interaction for the later understanding. First party is exporter. As I said, exporter is nothing but he is a seller of the goods. His role is to supply the goods or services in return of the payment. Because once he supplies, he must get the payment for what the goods he has supplied for it. The importance of the, what is important in the exporter is the exporters are the originator of the goods. Originator of the goods which are being traded or exported are primarily concerned with the getting paid on time. Expect that as I am executing the order of the export, I must get the payment on time. This is the importance of the exporters. That is why the exporter engages with the banks for the pre-shipment and post-shipment finance and with buyers via trade agreement. So pre-shipment and post-shipment is a method of finance. Pre-shipment finance means before the goods are exported, finance is made available to the exporter is a pre-shipment finance. And after the goods are exported, documents are prepared and given to the banks and finance is made by the banks to the exporter is post-shipment finance. Right? Now, importer. Importer is nothing but he is called as a buyer also. His role is to purchase the good. Exporter's role is to sell the goods. Importer's role is to purchase the goods or services from the foreign or domestic suppliers. Its importance is importers are responsible for making the payment under agreed terms as soon as they receive the goods. Okay? Therefore, importers work with their bank to issue an instrument like letter of credit to guarantee the payment. Now, what is letter of credit and guarantee? We are going to discuss this subsequent chapters also and subsequent paras also. Now, third is banks and financial institution. This is the third stakeholders in trade finance. Now, what is the role of banks and financial institution? Banks and financial institution provides the funding. They are credit enablers and they create the trade instruments. The importance is the banks and financial institution act as an intermediary to reduce the risk of payment and provide the liquidity to the trade transaction. That is the responsibility or that is the importance. Then there are various types of banks and financial institutions. They provide the liquidity, like how there are different types of banks and financial institutions. What are those types of the bank which are involved in the trade finance? They are issuing bank. Issuing banks means letter of credit issuing banks on behalf of their importer customer, importer client. And advising and confirming bank means they advises and confirms the letter of credit to the exporter. And the financing bank is the bank who offers the finance or who offers the working capital, invoice discounting and factoring to the exporter, right? Next one is insurance companies. This is important stakeholder in trade finance transaction. Insurance companies' role is to provide the credit and political risk insurance. Then the importance of the insurance company is to protect the exporters and also bank from non-payment of the risk due to the buyer's default, insolvency of the buyer, or political turmoil in the buyer's country. So this kind of risk is covered by the insurance company, and they will help to the exporter or seller of the goods. Next stakeholder is export credit agencies, which is called as an ECA, export credit agencies. These export credit agencies in India, there is an Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India. This Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India offers the guarantees, the insurance and the concessional finance also to the exporters. That is why the importance of the export credit agencies is to support the national exports by covering the political and commercial risk. Political and commercial risk. Next stakeholder is freight forwarders and the logistic companies. Freight forwarder and logistic companies. Their role in trade finance is to handle the transportation, to handle the warehousing, and custom clearance also they can undertake. That is why they are called as a freight forwarders. It is their business. The importance of the freight forwarders and logistic providers in the trade finance is to ensure timely and secure delivery of the goods, which is often conditioned for the payment, which is released under the trade finance instrument. Next stakeholder in the trade finance operation is the customs authorities. Customs authorities, Indian customs authorities, whenever the goods are crossing the borders, it has to pass through the custom route. The customs role is to regulate and monitor the cross-border movement of the goods. And the importance of the custom is that it is essential for the legal compliance and for verifying the shipping and export-import documents. That is the role of custom authorities. Next stakeholder in the trade finance is a trade facilitator and third-party agencies. These trade facilitators and third-party agencies' role is to help with the documentation compliance, the trade advisory, documentation compliance and trade advisory. Chamber of Commerce. Chamber of Commerce role is to issue the certificate of origin, which certifies the origin of goods is from which country. Okay. Now, inspection authorities or inspection agencies like SGS and other consultants, they will help to smooth flow of the trade finance or trade operations. Ninth is the regulator and government bodies. They are also stakeholders in the trade finance. Now, regulators and the government bodies. These regulators and the government bodies set and enforce the trade, banking, and the foreign exchange regulations. Now, who are the regulators and the government bodies? Number one, Reserve Bank of India in India. DGFT means Director General of Foreign Trade, India. And WTO means Global Trade Rules, World Trade Organization. Global Trade Rules, they frame the Global Trade Rules. The importance of these regulators and the government bodies is to ensure that they ensure that the trade transactions are legally compliant and align with the monetary policies. Next stakeholder in the trade finance is the technology platform and the fintech companies. This is something new. After a few years, it has come to the light that yes, they are also the technology platforms and fintech companies are also forming a bigger role in trade finance operations. So, these technology platforms and the fintech companies' role is to provide the digital trade finance solution, that is ELC, electronic LC, or blockchain-based trade platform, right? And why it is important? Because due to this technology platform and fintech companies, trade finance improves its speed, transparency. Because of the accuracy, it gives the transparency to the parties involved with it and the security in trade documentation and the payment. Very securely they can handle it. That is why they are very, very important nowadays. So technology platforms and fintech companies also plays a very big role in trade finance operations. Friends, this is the list of the stakeholders. Now you will have an imagination. How big is the trade finance world? And what again it consists of? Because so many authorities, so many agencies, so many stakeholders are there. And to comply with it and satisfy everybody by this exporter or importer is not a small job. Definitely it is not a small job. Now, before we further proceed in little bit deep, let us understand what is the difference between the trade finance and the traditional finance. Both are trade finance. Traditional finance and trade finance are both are trade finance. Because it provides the financial support to the business. They serve the distinct purpose but involves the different instrument and cater to the different need, especially when it comes to the nature of transaction, risk management, and the documentation requirement. You can understand the difference by referring to the table which is given here. Okay, now this table is divided vertically into three parts. One consists of the aspect. There are various aspects. Second consists of the trade finance and third consists of traditional finance. After studying this, you will come to know definitely the difference between the trade finance and traditional finance. As far as purpose of trade finance is concerned, as I mentioned specifically, it is designed to support the trade transaction, that is import and export, or the domestic. Okay, whereas in traditional finance, generally, the business needs such as the capital expenditure and the expansion, etc. That is the purpose of traditional finance. Why it is required? Correct? Then focus. Trade finance focuses on what? Focuses on the movement of the goods and the services across the border or a region. Whereas traditional finance focuses on the financial health and the creditworthiness of the borrower. Because it is domestically, right? So, the instrument, trade finance uses the instrument like letter of credit, bank guarantee, bill of exchange, factoring, forfeiting. These are the instruments under the trade finance. Whereas in traditional finance, the term loan, overdraft, cash credit, working capital loan, etc. These are some of the traditional instruments in traditional finance. The risk coverage, as far as the risk coverage is concerned, trade-specific risks such as payment risk and performance risk and political risk. These are the three or four major risks are there in trade finance. Whereas there is a credit risk, interest rate risk and default risk is in the traditional finance. As far as the collateral requirement is concerned, for the trade finance, always it is considered it is the self-liquidating, such as payment risk, performance risk, and the political risk. Okay? Collateral requirement, often it is self-liquidated by means of the documents which are secured by the trade, or documents or receivables. Trade documents or receivable. And traditional finance, it is generally the secured by the fixed and movable assets or personal guarantee. Documentation intensity. In trade finance, there are a lot of documents are there. It involves extensive trade documentation like invoice, bill of lading, customs documents, etc. So many documents. Large number of documents are there in trade finance, in short. Whereas in traditional finance, there is a few documents like, say, loan agreement or financial statement or bank statement like that. These are the normal documents. So in short, the documentation is concerned, trade finance has to create the document. Whereas in traditional finance, documents are there, need to be signed. That's right. The transaction-based facility. Now the transaction-based or the facility based in trade finance is mostly a specific financing tied to the trade deal. In specific facility for a specific type of deal. Where in traditional finance, facility is based on the fixed repayment terms and then credit limits. Now, parties involved. Trade finance, there are multiple parties because there are multiple regulation, multiple parties, and it is a cross border. So these parties are exporter, importer, bank, insurance, various type of banks, insurers, etc. However, in traditional finance, there is a borrower and the lender. These are the only two parties. As far as the geographic nature is concerned, the cross border the trade deal happens in the trade finance, whereas in traditional finance, primarily between the borrower and lender, it typically happens in domestic nature. Now, tenure, as far as the length of the finance is concerned, generally the short term and medium term cycle is preferred in the trade finance, right? 30 days to 180 days. But in traditional finance, it is domestic in nature, and the tenure is maybe short term, medium term, or long term, depending upon the purpose for which the borrowing is happened. And the regulatory oversight, if you consider, in the trade finance, this it is subject to international trade rules like UCP 600, ICC, WTO regulations, etc. However, in traditional finance, which is governed by national banking and financial regulators. So these are some of the regulatory scenario. So evolution of the trade finance is very important to look into. We need to understand first before going deep into the trade finance. In short, I will be explaining, not going much into deep. From the early barter system means goods are sold against the goods and there is no involvement of money. That is barter system. So, first one is an ancient and medieval period. Ancient. The initial trade method involved direct exchange of the goods and services without currency, that means goods to goods and services to services. Okay? Early credit instrument, barter system, Then early credit instrument, that is ancient Mesopotamia, recorded the trade debts or clay tablets. Okay. These are used to count the amount, right? Indian subcontinent utilized the hundi, a type of bill of exchange, which is called as a hundi, for many years. This is happening since ancient time or medieval period. Now, Silk Road era, what happened? Traders employed promissory note and the basic credit system to support the long distance trade. Second, the rise of merchant banking. That happened between 14th to 17th century. Right? Now, how it happens, how it rose, the European trade expansion. First thing, it was happened, that European trade expansion. The growth of maritime trade during the Renaissance led to the emergence of the merchant banks in Italy and the Netherlands. There it started the banking. Then bill of exchange. Bill of exchange became popular in Europe, which is considered as a safer alternative to carrying cash over the long distance. Then comes the letter of credit. Letter of credit emerged as a method of guarantee for the payment between the unfamiliar trading parties. Third era is colonial and industrial period, which this time is from 18th to 19th century. What happened during that period? There was a colonial trade. That means trade finance evolved to support the complex trade routes or colonial empires. Trade routes of colonial empires. Banking institutions. Major banks like HSBC and Standard Chartered Bank were established during that period, means 18th to 19th century, to support the trade with colonies. Limited scope, right? Then development of the insurance. See, marine insurance becomes the crucial to cover the cargo loss risk. Next era is a post-World War era. Post-World War era, that is 20th century. This is happened in 20th century. Bretton and Woods system was developed in 1944, which led to the creation of the institutions like International Monetary Fund, that is IMF, and the World Bank, which stabilized the government, which stabilized the global finance and the trade. It is followed by the export credit agencies, ECAs, export credit agencies. Which are those agencies? Some time back I referred. In India, it was Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India, ECGC. Likewise, these export credit agencies were emerged in the 20th century to support the national export by offering the credit and insurance. There happens the standardization. Various things happen in the world, but during the trade. But there was no standardization. So standardization has been established. Therefore, ICC, that is uniform, ICC, International Chamber of Commerce, Uniform Customs and Practice for Documentary Credit and Standardized Letter of Credit Uses globally, that has become a standardization for the instruments to be used in trade finance.